And welcome to FC Podcast. This is your weekly dose of football culture from across the footballing landscape. As ever, I am your host, Simon Scott. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. It is currently Tuesday, the 5th of January, 2021. A very happy new year to you. Here's hoping that 2021 will be a lot better year than that shit show we had the year before. A massive thanks to everybody that voted in our end of the year awards. We absolutely loved your interaction and really enjoyed making those episodes for you. And we hope to see even more of you guys enjoying FCP this year. As always, let's hear it to you. You are FC Podcast Ultras. Please get in touch with us on our Instagram page at FC Podcast Boys, on Twitter at FC Podcast 2. Please let us know where you're listening from. We've had some amazing interaction. Shout out to you guys out in South Carolina. We've got a regular listener in Uruguay, India. You guys are blowing up our listener feeds, and we're starting to get a bit of traction in Australia as well. So let us know where you're listening from. And also, while you're at it, leave us a 5-star review. Let me introduce you once again to my backroom staff. They are the very best in the business, or whatever I could get on Gumtree. As ever, I am joined by Captain Carlsberg, Mr. Jack Hoban, and the Bias Kaiser of the FCP, Mr. James Hepworth. I'll start with you, James. How the devil are you, sir? How was your Christmas, your New Year? Talk me through it.
Well, it was all right until you called me biased. I'm far from biased. Thank you very much.
Bullshit.
Mate, you know, it is what it is. Don't shoot the messenger and all that jazz. But anyway,
I had a great... You managed to turn every
We only a few minutes into the podcast and he's already been a fucking dickhead to me.
Don't get me wrong. The awards were great. We had some great interaction, but even Jack's dad said, you're biased.
But you are biased as fuck.
I can't stand the sight of you, mate. I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Oh, don't be like that. It's all right. Go on, Jack. You must have had a good Christmas, New Year. I was steaming New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it was brilliant, mate. I was absolutely bloody steaming for them all. Loved it. And Chelsea ruined every fucking thing.
Yeah. Liverpool haven't exactly cheered me up. National lockdown got announced in the UK yesterday. And Liverpool lost.
What changes? Honestly, what changes?
Anyway, it's been absolutely terrible. Best Christmas present, boys? Jack, what was your best Christmas present?
Football Manager.
Oh, excellent choice.
Actually, no. I'm going to get soppy and say, because I was in the part of Vestix that wasn't in Tier 3 or Tier 4. My aunt and uncle coming around Christmas Day. I'll go with that. I'll get soppy.
Oh, I'll put some violins on in the edit. James, what was your top Christmas moment, present? What was the highlight of your Crimbo period?
I got a nice travel book about all the places I can travel to once I'm able to. That was quite cool. Seeing my family and just having a nice Christmas, I guess.
Oh, very, very nice. Me, I left London and have now moved myself to Manchester. I'm literally living in the shadow of the Etihad. I walked around it this afternoon because the canal near us leads right up to it. Tell you what, Sports City is immense. Like, some of the money they've invested up there is unbelievable.
It's a holiday resort.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. But the city, Manchester itself, that's been my present. I love it. It's a cracking place. And I can't wait until it all opens and I can actually go and enjoy it, because some of the bars and stuff and some of the like places to eat looks amazing. And I saw a place earlier today that was like £30 and you can drink as much lager as you want in 90 minutes.
Oh my God. I definitely have to come up then.
So that's one pint for James.
So that's one very posh pint for James.
Mate, I'm sorry, but I'm half German, so obviously I'm a big beer drinker as well. To be fair, mate, when you came over to Frankfurt...
He's right, he is.
No.
There'll be two pints.
No, mate. When you came to Frankfurt, I was on par with you drinking the exact same. And don't be like, nah, you didn't, because I'm right.
You're wrong, though.
No, I'm
you
not
had to
wrong.
Stop after a while.
No, I'm not. I didn't
stop after
a while.
And then when you came up to Essex.
No.
Yeah, you did. And then when you came up to Essex, you had to stop on a night out.
I didn't stop. Well, to be fair, the only reason I may have stopped is because...
You went for a shower and brushed your teeth one of the nights in Frankfurt and then got into bed while I was sitting on the balcony there with a crate.
I didn't. I was probably looking at my phone. Doesn't mean that I wasn't like enjoying your company or anything.
You wanted a minty beer.
You're brushing your teeth.
It's a delicacy, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To be fair, that's quite a German thing. You know, you have minty toothpaste and you have a beer, you know?
I tell you what is a surprisingly good German thing, which I didn't realise even existed. Is it Diesel? You know, when you put Coca-Cola on top of a half pint? Drink. It's wrong, but it's also bloody good.
It is so good. So it
honestly sounds fucking disgusting. You've seen it.
Carlsberg,
It tastes amazing.
Also, what we do is we do banana Weizen, which is like banana juice and Weissbier. Hang on, sorry.
Can I just stop you there? He's banged on about how much he can drink, and then he went on straight after saying, my favourite drinks are where I put Coke in my beer and banana juice in my beer.
Mate, it's lovely.
Look, the Germans are a very interesting breed, but they do know how to have a bev. Like, and also, like, currywurst as well is just like...
I'm not going to say Germans are wrong'uns, but James, you're a wrong'un, mate.
Mate, says the guy who's drinking a pint now, and you just thought, oh, he doesn't drink.
Let's see how he's talking at the end of the show.
Emotional again, won't we? Anyway, guys, now
we're screaming and shouting.
Less about the beer, as much as I am enjoying having a sip of one. Now to business, and we're not talking transfers. Well, it depends if anyone's looking for a Bosman and a German expert. Only kidding, pal. Only kidding. Coming up on this week's episode, plenty of debate to come and put some respect on that man's name. News where we look at the new man in charge in Paris. Not going to brag or boast, but we definitely did call it. And someone, not so surprisingly, has taken a bite out of Barcelona. We have the first Hall of Fame of the year, as well as a host of clownery in Clown of the Week. I wonder how many Premier League players are going to get it in this week, and the usual FC podcast shenanigans, if you've just heard quite recently. But first, gents, hold on to your beers, roll out the red carpet for the legends of the game. It is time for the FCP Hall of Fame. Hello, welcome to the Hall of Fame. Open brackets, insert your sponsor here, close brackets. Welcome very much. Three suggestions are to be entered into our Hall of Fame, with the previous week's winners not to be announced because there wasn't one. We just had our end of year awards. It was all smashing. Everyone had a great time. Jack's mum put on a cracking spread. It was wonderful. So go and have a go back, have a listen if you haven't already. But it's nice to see you've kept your polo on from the same time before, Jack and James, looking as suave as ever in your little turtleneck. We'll have some canapes and have a little think, see if there's some leftover Christmas spread. But before we get into all those little nibbles and shenanigans, who will get into the Hall of Fame this week? I've got an absolute cracker in my pocket, but I'll let you gents go first. Jack, you were lamenting James. I mean, what's new? But you were lamenting James in the group chat before because he'd never listened to a specific piece of music or, in fact, that show that was a staple of your childhood.
My Hall of Fame nomination is the Spanish football show that was on Sky Sports, Revista de la Liga. Oh, it's iconic. From whenever I started watching Spanish football, like in, I don't know, 2004 or 5 when I was a little kid, all I remember is just that show also being on. It was like every Tuesday or something, 6 o'clock. It was amazing. They basically just spent like an hour or two just going through all the big stories in Spain. And it was just, it went on for years. And it was just, it was one of the best football shows I grew up watching. And I thought everyone watched it that had like Sky. It was massive.
I used to watch the reruns when they used to be on, because I'll be honest, I couldn't tell you when it was on. I just know that it was, but it used to be cracking. Yeah. It used to have all that fake tapas on the table and that, didn't they?
Yes, that's it. What was it? Mark Bolton was originally one of the presenters, and then I think it was Scott Minton then took over. And then you had like Guillaume Balaguer as one of like the hosts and stuff. You had all like Terry Gibson, you had all like the co-commentators would then become like the guests. And you had Graham Hunter on all the time as well as like the journalist expert, sometimes like ex-players. Maybe Mendieta made an appearance or two on there. It was always great. It was like one of the best shows to watch football-wise in a midweek.
That's a cracking suggestion. Just a shame that James has never heard of him.
Well, he doesn't watch football outside of Germany, does he?
Mate, I've just never been a big fan of La Liga, Sir Levy.
I always used to like La Liga.
You're a disgrace, mate.
Mate, I've got other leagues to watch. The Bundesliga, Serie A, Premier League. I mean, I've got to rep my countries, innit?
your countries, you only watch the Bundesliga.
No, I watch Serie A as well. Now and again, maybe a few YouTube videos when I'm on the bog.
There we go. Thanks for that, Jeff.
And back to the studio. No, thank you very much. Right, that is a pretty good suggestion. Like, I always like these review shows. The ones that always stand out to me, though, on Sky Sports were all the random WWE ones where it was just like a bloke in like a really badly CGI'd studio.
Yeah, I remember them.
They were like Experience or something, weren't they?
I can't remember. It was like WWE SmackDown Experience or something. One was specific to Raw and the other one was specific to SmackDown. And it'd just show like highlights of the matches. Like it'd be like small clips and stuff. And then it'd go back to the bloke in the studio.
Do you know what's funny actually? My suggestion for this week's Hall of Fame is also a Sky Sports show, which is what's really funny when you suggested it. But go on, James, I'll let you pick yours before I...
Is it Goals on Sunday?
No, it's not Goals on Sunday. It's even better than Goals on Sunday, mate.
Oh, so I'm easy like a song.
Monday Night Football.
Sorry, mate.
Sounded like a bloody tabby cat.
No, it's staying in. It's staying in. Go on.
Please, Dad. Anyway, so you want to hear my suggestion?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Is it Monday Night Footballs?
No,
not yours, Simon's.
Wow, mate, you are. No, and then you go on a twist, mate. What are you on about? Are you sure you haven't been on a few of the bears?
Oh, I was talking to Simon about his suggestion. He said it was a Sky Sports show.
It is a Sky Sports show, but I'm going to let James drop some knowledge with his one, and then I'm going to reveal all.
the polite man he is, contradicting to Carlsberg over here. So mine has got to be Fabio Cannavaro's defensive performance against Germany in the 2006 World Cup final in Dortmund. Dubbed as El Muro del Berlino, an absolutely tremendous performance by him, arguably one of my favourite Italian players, and I think it's probably one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. So that's
he was also good in the semi-final against Germany. Did you mean the semi-final or the final? Because I don't think Germany made the final in 2006.
Semi-final. Oh, I said semi-final. I didn't say final.
Fabio Cannavaro's defensive performance against Germany in 2006 World Cup final.
I thought you said semi-final.
We should have been in the final. But
no, Italy were the better team.
No, Cannavaro was an absolute beast that game.
I can't argue with that. Broke my heart. I'll tell you a story about that semi-final. So my grandma got me an Italian football shirt. A year ago before, and I was watching the semi-final, that's it. And I think my mum said to me at one point, like, get down your Italian shirt, it may contradict it. And I was like, what? I don't understand what that means. What? That would surely give me bad luck for supporting Germany. Anyway, I got down the Italian shirt. As soon as I got down the Italian shirt, this is a true story, Fabio Grosso scored. I burst into tears. I was so upset. My dad was celebrating as well, being Italian heritage years. I was so upset. I got some scissors and started to cut the Italian shirt. I don't know what... As soon as I was cutting it, bloody Del Piero scored. So it was just like instant karma.
So hang on, your nan bought you an Italian shirt and you ended up just cutting it up with scissors?
Yeah. I was very, very dramatic, young man,
weren't you, James?
Yeah, and he has the audacity to say I'm rude. Your nan buys you a shirt. Imagine what happens when your nan asks if you still got the shirt.
It's over there on the wall. It's over there and over there and over there.
Yeah, there's about 200 pieces to it.
Send it back as a jigsaw puzzle. She'll be well chuffed. Well, that's a great suggestion. It's a good little story. Yours is also a good story, Jack, although not many people will relate to it, but I think a lot of people will relate to mine. And I used to just casually watch this like on a summer during a rainy day or anything. It used to pop up, but Premier League Years is one of, if not
the best review show ever.
When it used to do the news bit and then go like everybody knows that bit of music.
Everybody knows it because it is.
And when they go into a new month, they do a quick roundup of like all the big headlines of that month.
I remember whenever I was sick or did a sick day from school when I didn't want to go to school, I remember watching that always first thing in the morning.
Premier League years.
It was the summers where they had like 3-4 episodes in a row.
And it always used to finish like with, they used to have the like the Beckham celebration in there. They used to have Reece when he pulled his t-shirt over his head, like sliding on his knees.
Yeah.
That show was so sick. Great. It used to have Georgie, what's her name, who used to present it. And then she got sacked from Sky and then it changed. And you can tell what year she left because she stops voicing it. But that is, I was just, no, it was funny when we were thinking about, when we were messaging it earlier and being like, right, what we're doing for the Hall of Fame. I was sat watching telly and I was like, do you know what I could just watch now? Fucking Premier League years. And I was like, that's it. I've won this week. Like, put it in the post box.
Good game.
I've already won. What an absolute cracker. So let us know if you watched any of these shows or visited La Liga or, James's cut up Italian shirt. If you can find a picture of James. It's probably in some bloke's shop or something, just like cut up. Like, oh, this was in the game.
No,
right?
His mum probably binned it. Like, if you cut it up into little pieces.
I regret that so bad. I think it had Vieri on the back as well.
Oh.
With gold lettering. Man. Not a good look.
That was a good kit. I had that kit, the 2006
How good
kit.
Was the Pirlo pass, though, for Grosso in that
game?
Oh,
amazing.
The no-look pass.
Amazing. There's a video on YouTube where you can see it with, like, the camera angle of when he does that pass.
Yeah.
Then it's great. And then how he beats Lehmann and the crowd just goes wild. It's,
Even the Del Piero goal was unreal. Like,
that was off. How he just, like...
The way he turned, like, Quinter,
wasn't it?
I think it was
Gilardino.
I have quite a fun story about Del Piero if you'd like to hear it, gents.
Go for it, mate.
I was once on a night out in London.
You once came over Del Piero?
To be honest, who hasn't? But I came home from a night out and I used to live in Greenwich, so my tube stop used to be North Greenwich at the O2. And at the same time, the Masters... football tournament was on and obviously Del Piero was playing for Italy.
No.
I came up the escalators and I was talking to my mate and my mate had his back to the escalator that was coming down and I was talking to him and as I was on the escalator I saw Del Piero come down the other side and he was wearing like a pure Armani suit and my mate smelt him before he saw him. And he was like, whoa, whose aftershave is that? And he turned around and he went, it's fucking Del Piero! Like, on the escalator. And he turned around and gave us the thumbs up.
Did he?
Yeah, he did,
amazing.
He did,
That's so cool.
And I was just like, oh my God, it's Del Piero! And that's one of my, like, fun celebrity stories of moving around London. There you go. So big up Del Piero, what an absolute legend. I think that's everything for the Hall of Fame. Like I've said, everybody listening, if you want to sponsor it, we should set up a Patreon. Just pay £2 to sponsor the Hall of Fame. We're not expensive or anything. We're quite a cheap little podcast here, aren't we?
We just need to pay off James' £30 debt for that pint.
What £30 debt?
£30.
What are you on about?
The Bayern Manchester, 30 quid.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can drink.
Yeah, but I don't understand why I have to pay off that debt because I'm going to complete the challenge, obviously.
Challenge?
Yeah, mate. You
should enjoy it.
If we ever go to Manchester, I will put...
We will?
20 quid on... I will pay the full 30 quid if you do more than 3 pints.
Mate, deal.
Actually, more than 4.
Deal. Deal. It's in writing, in words, because we're on a podcast. This we are doing.
Right.
Easy. Mate, that's an easy challenge.
It's going to be in some state after this.
Like taking bloody it's like taking candy from a baby, fam.
Right. Should we move on to our headline story? I've been waiting to get onto this for ages.
No, let's talk more about the
beer. No. Headline story,
what's the headline story? Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell is going on at Chelsea? Currently sat at mid-table in ninth, level on points with the mighty Aston Villa, who just so happened to have two games in hand, level on points with West Ham, and only 3 points clear of Arsenal, who, may I remind you, were in a relegation battle a couple of weeks ago. Until Chelsea let them back in, that is. Apparently, Werner can't hit a cow's arse with a banjo. Havertz is missing in action. Looks like he could use a good meal. A good run of clean sheets. And now the game plan has gone completely out the window. I'm looking on our little Zoom call and James has got his little clipboard out. Jack's pulling a face like a slapped ass. So I'll let you go first, James.
Hey, what can I say? It's just an absolute calamity from Chelsea. But to be fair, I'm looking at their last results around December. Let's have a look. Everton 1, Chelsea 0. Wolves 2, Chelsea 1. Chelsea, they beat West Ham 3-0. Then
but Arsenal may I just say Chelsea that 3-1. That game, they didn't exactly play amazing.
No, to be fair, they shouldn't have won that either. They got a bit lucky with that one. Arsenal absolutely destroyed by Arsenal. 1-1 with Aston Villa. And just, I was watching the game against Man City. And you know what? To be fair, it could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for Mendy pulling off some quite good saves and just maybe Man City kind of stepping back a little bit. But there was just no system. There is no system. I'm watching this Chelsea team. They're running around like headless chickens. They don't know what they're doing. And I don't think Lampard knows what he's doing. I don't think the players know what they're doing. And it's just a complete, it's a complete calamity.
Jack, shall I let you in or shall I start first?
You go, mate.
Oh, okay then. The big question for me on all of this is how long has Lampard got left? You look at the Chelsea's record of managers and the points per game ratio. I think Lampard has the lowest under any manager under Ibrahimovic. I watched them the other day and you see after they've just conceded the first goal against City, they play the ball to the back and Zouma just gets hold of the ball and he's like, right, nobody wants the ball. Like, he's looking up, he ends up pinging it out to the left, plays it to Chilwell. Cancelo is instantly in his face, pressuring him. They end up getting the ball, large selection of play, back and forth, a sumptuous ball to Foden, and he beats Mendy at his near post. And even though it's only 90 seconds of play between the first goal and the second goal, a lot can be said about how this Chelsea team is performing in that small amount of time, because it just looks completely rudderless. And I know, Jack, that you are somebody who, no matter what, will back the manager of your team. I absolutely respect that. And I know that it's obviously not going to be the most fun for you to talk about, but the people want to know, mate, what are you thinking?
Not a lot, to be honest.
Not a lot. Result.
Yeah. And, I mean, that City performance result, it was coming. It's been coming for a while. We haven't been good all December and into the new year. The last good performance we had was Leeds at home. And then, as you pointed out, it was 1-0 loss away to Everton, 2-1 loss away to Wolves, 3-0 win at West Ham, where West Ham should have scored when it was 1-0 and we managed to get two goals at the end. We got battered by Arsenal. The Villa performance was decent. We really should have won that. We let Villa back into that. And then we got battered by City, which was coming. I don't know what to say, to be honest. The performance was wank.
Well, one thing I have to ask you, it must be difficult, because like, I was listening to Carragher on Monday Night Football last night, where he was talking about Lampard and the situation that he's, I don't know whether he's made for himself or he's now found himself, and I think time will tell with that one. But he was saying, he was like, I didn't get into coaching because I want to be Jurgen Klopp fist pumping the cop, but I don't want to go to Mainz for 7 years to then have to try and earn that opportunity. And Lampard, from a lot of people that I've seen on YouTube or on the radio or on the telly, I've all said he is their dream Chelsea manager. You know, like, if you could pick one player to come to Chelsea, be the manager, some would say John Terry, but you want Lampard to be that guy that's going to be the next Mourinho. And I think, to be honest, Lampard wants to be the next Mourinho. But he's taking, from my perspective, some of the traits that actually let Mourinho down, which is they're not taking blame on himself, sometimes isolating players and picking a scapegoat. Look at Kepa. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was deserved. But still, really?
Disagree with that big time. Big time. I don't think you can slate Lampard for that. You can slate him for maybe saying we don't have a tactical plan. There's not a specific system we're running with. He's not getting the best out of the new signings, maybe. I don't think you can say his man management's been poor. You look at the three players is it three that he's had a go at particularly? Yeah, it's Kepa. Even then, with Kepa, he still backed him. He still defended him after games when every man and his dog slated him. He still defended Kepa after the home game at Liverpool this season, where Kepa basically gave it to Mane for on goal.
I think...
He took Alonso out to dry. He hung him out to dry in a 3-0 draw against West Brom. And he, by all reports, he hung him out to dry in front of the whole squad in the dressing room. And that was because he'd already made the decision to sub Alonso off at half-time. And Alonso didn't want to come back onto the bench. He just wanted to go straight to the bus. So he just absolutely grilled Alonso, and Alonso hasn't played since. If you ask every Chelsea fan, Alonso's not good enough. And for me, he was part of the problem from a couple of years ago where we had players that would turn up when they want to turn up. And when it got a little bit tough, they're just down tools. And two other players in that conversation were for me were Luiz and Willian. And thankfully, they're gone. Who was the other one he ran out, he hung out to dry? Werner at Arsenal. He said he wasn't doing enough on the ball and off the ball. And many Chelsea fans believed that to be true. He's getting some stuff wrong. Don't get me wrong. And criticism is deserved right now. Don't think it's for his man management though.
My personal opinion is, I think Lampard is well respected within the club. I think he's very good with his players, and I can tell that his players look up to him. I just don't think he has the experience for this level, and it's obvious to be seen. I don't think it's going against him as a person, as a player, but it's like anything. I mean, if you look at any careers, you know, you've got to start your way from the bottom and you work your way up. You know, where Carragher's saying, I wouldn't want to be at Mainz for that amount of time to have an opportunity. But I'm sorry, but in 9 out of 10 times in careers, that's what happens. You start at the bottom, you work your way up, you get more experience, you learn from your mistakes, you have trials and error periods, and then, you know, you become the person you are professionally. And I think personally with Frank Lampard, that's the same. And Chelsea's not an easy gig. It's not any manager who walks into that club. It's hard. Even Lampard, as the player he is, the accolades that he's won for Chelsea, and, you know, he's Chelsea through and through. But, you know, any manager would struggle within Chelsea, you know, eventually. So I think he is great with his players. I think they do look up to him. But I think currently with that team at the moment, they need someone to come in and really, you know, set the turn of the race and get them under control. And I think it's just too early in Lampard's career, personally.
What do you think, Jack? Because a lot of the debate that I've seen online has been, if the Chelsea hierarchy were to ever get rid of Lampard or to sack him, now in this stadium empty era would be the time, because obviously you're not going to face the backlash of a lot of the fans and stuff. It doesn't mean that he won't come back, but
if Roman's going to sack you, he don't care. He'll sack you whether there's fans there or not. He sacked Di Matteo, like, what was it, 5 months, less than that, after winning the Champions League.
So he lost Juventus, Roman, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, he's ruthless, Roman. Yeah, it was. It was 3-0 in Turin. Yeah. And Di Matteo got back like four, the squad got back about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then apparently he was told around that time by Abramovich.
Crazy.
Well, it would have been Bruce Buck, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have been Abramovich.
Do you think the fact that he is Frank Lampard will buy him more time?
With the fans, yeah. Maybe with Abramovich, because Abramovich worked with him for so long. But he is ruthless at the end of the day.
Another thing as well that I've been thinking about is there's a lot of managers that are out of a job right now that really could come into that team and do a job. A team that, if you were to compare...
You say a lot, but like, I can only think of two.
Well, the two that come to mind for me are Allegri and Tuchel. You look at their CVs compared to Frank Lampard's, and it's like, you know, I could make an analogy about my CV, but I'm not going to undersell myself because I'm currently in the lockdown unemployment. But
personally,
on,
I think Tuchel would be a great appointment. Firstly, coming in to settle Werner Havertz, I think that would be a good deciding factor. And secondly, he speaks English. I don't think Allegri speaks English. And we all know that he's been learning. But I think Tuchel, and I can just see Tuchel doing very well because he's that kind of very archaic, military-driven style manager. He's like, I'm going to get you in order. And it does, it just looking at this Chelsea team, they need a manager to get them in order. They need someone to basically really get them in shape. And I think Tuchel will do this. I don't like Tuchel personally, but I think, you know, how he was able to go to PSG and manage egos like Mbappe and Neymar.
Great experience.
Great experience. And I think he will do very well at Chelsea. I think that would be a and then, you know, after the amount of money they spent on Havertz and Werner, they would want someone, you know, speaks German, looks after them a little bit, you know, get them settled in a little bit. I think he would be perfect. I think him over Allegri, I can see it happening. I can see Tuchel being the next Chelsea manager.
What about you, Jack? Can you?
He's made himself available to Chelsea. It's not the first time he's done this. He did it in 2017. Chelsea had a look at him when Conte kicked up the first time, and they were warned not to appoint him.
Really? Why?
Because they were warned because he would be just like Conte, who they had at the time, and Mourinho in the past, in that he will be difficult to work with because of his character.
Agreed.
Then who? Because unfortunately,
I don't want Lampard to get the sack.
To be honest, neither do I. I want him to at least have a crack.
So you sack Lampard, you bring in Thomas Tuchel. A year in, we go on a dip of form again. Results aren't maybe that great. So then we sack him. So he's there 2 years. You're 2 years down the line, Lampard's gone, the manager after that's gone, you now got to find someone else. Another 2 years go by and you sack him. It's on and on and on. We spend loads of money on players in between, but I don't know.
Doesn't seem like...
I'm a little sick of it now, mate.
Well, I can see that in your face. So obviously, the people that are listening to this can't, but I'm pretty sure you can tell by Jack's mood, he is slightly dejected by this. This is something that you and me have talked about before, where we've discussed the Chelsea have a large investment, back a manager, you've won trophies for as long as all three of us can remember now. But, you know, you do have that success where you'll be shite for a year, 2 years later you might win the league. And that is a winning formula per se. But when I look at who might be available in the next year, the next 2 years, players which can, you know, your players at certain ages and certain times, you've got such a young squad. I don't see you guys winning the league in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, unless somebody comes in and really, really creates a winning mentality and formula that is long lasting.
I don't know, maybe not. I mean, you're never going to get me on this podcast saying, I want him to be sacked, I want him to go. I'm just not going to ask for the manager to be sacked. I didn't want Sarri to be sacked after the 6-0 loss at the Etihad. I didn't want Villas-Boas to be sacked after the Napoli game in Naples.
What about Scolari?
I wanted Avram Grant to be given the job after Moscow loss. The only one I was iffy on was Scolari. But even then, I don't think I want him to be sacked. I don't think he lasted long enough for many Chelsea fans to be demanding him to be sacked. He didn't even make it. I can't remember, but I'm not sure if he made it halfway through the season or not.
I don't think he made it to Christmas because there was such a fanfare when he arrived. But I don't think he did.
That's when Hiddink came in the first time and we ended up winning the FA Cup final at the end of the season.
See, there's always a victory around the corner. There's always a trophy being lifted. It's just whether that's your bag, this like topsy-turvy.
Lampard or not.
It's like going out with a 9 out of 10, but she breaks up with you every weekend. You get some, you win some, you lose some. It's just how it goes, isn't it? But, anyway, I feel quite, this is cheering me up. I mean, James, I know that you've been very like critical of Lampard and stuff on this podcast and in our group chat and whatever, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what management do.
The next month is going to be the big one. We got Morecambe, and then we got Fulham, and then we got Leicester.
And Burnley.
Game will be a big game.
Yeah. Ideally, we need to go into that Leicester game with 2 wins on the bounce. If we don't, then he's in big trouble. I mean, it doesn't matter whether we want him sacked or not as fans. At the end of the day, Roman's going to sack him whether we like it or not, if the results haven't been good enough. And you might find he's gone when it becomes mathematically not possible to get top four. I don't know. He's got issues. I don't know. the biggest worry against that was in that City game was, I mean, I've said it all season long to you guys, Chelsea tend to start well and then the foot comes off the gas, but normally we start well, go 1-0 up and then allow teams back in. Okay, that didn't happen against Arsenal. They just showed more intensity, better pressing, better desire in that first half, and they blew us away.
Would you say this is under Lampard, though, this kind of thing where you start well and then you fizzle out? Would you say that's a Lampard thing?
Yeah, because before Lampard, there'd be games where we just wouldn't even start well. There'd be certain games where we'd concede an early goal sign and then the players would just give up.
Would you notice that's very much like England? England start games very well and then they generally just fall apart. It's kind of similar to the way England play.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a tactical thing, because we don't start, because with England, it's we get the goal, like historically with England, they'd get the goal playing a great attacking free-flying football and then they'd get defensive and they'd put men behind the ball and they'd just allow the opponent to just get back in the game.
Rather than just kill the game.
With Chelsea, I don't think they just get defensive. It's just the intensity just drops off in the pressing. I mean, all you got to do is just watch that City game and the way we tried to press. It was pretty laughable, to be honest. We were all over the place. And then the Foden goal.
Especially when they started hitting the cross ball as well. Yeah. Like, you just saw Sterling running into a channel and he just had nobody in front of him.
Well, that was the issue. Sterling was playing on the left and Azpilicueta was playing. And his legs are gone.
He's a fantastic player. He's been such a great servant for you guys, but it is.
Oh yeah, one of my favourite players.
It's tough
ever.
Watching a class player like that lose his legs. I mean, look at Gerrard. I mean, he literally, his legs went from underneath him. Speaking of Liverpool and depressing notes, I wanted a happy new year. I just wanted a good new year. It's the first game I've watched in my new flat. I've not had a Monday off in years, and this was the first. Fucking tears for Ralph. The second he started crying, I turned to me mate and my missus. I was like, for fuck's fuck him. I was like, this is not the moment to have tears, you prick. It should be me that should be crying. This is the worst possible time for us to be going through a bad run of form. I swear to God, if we lose our home record to fucking United, you will not hear from me for a very long time. Because not only do I live in Manchester, but I'll just be everywhere, and I can't be dealing with it.
I just want a quick question. When we did the awards, who was your nominee for Clown of the Year?
It was Ed Woodward.
That's right, and you said you hope it continues.
I did, and I jinxed it. Unfortunately for me, I don't have a Man United kit from me, and that can start cutting up.
Life hits you fast.
It does, doesn't it? It's what an absolute bitch. He must have heard me. He was like, "Oh, hold my beer." What a prick! No, honestly, it has been frustrating. It has been very frustrating this season because away from home we have not been good. And then you get
what was
us,
the last three games. It was 1-0 loss to Southampton. It was 0-0
at St. James's, away to Newcastle, and then 7-1
and then 1-0 at West Brom.
One all at West Brom, and then
Anfield. And West Brom was shit, mate.
Like
and
shit.
Like, look at what Leeds did
real
and
bad.
Look what Arsenal did.
Like, real, real bad. And then you look at how Newcastle played the other night and it's just
I'm
like...
I'm surprised Klopp didn't like do the traditional German like hands-up celebration after that 1-1 draw against West Brom. Where
oh, yeah.
Seen
thank
that
you
before?
Very much. Yeah, thank you very much. Now,
it's still fun and games until you lot get knocked out of the Champions League, pal.
What, Liverpool or Bayern?
Bayern, obviously.
I did say that I don't think Bayern will win the Champions League.
Oh, you'll win this year.
I'll be a Lazio fan of the night, for sure.
We'll get Malfi the following season when you get knocked out.
Oh, that's all right. We've won it back-to-back. I can live with that.
You're winning it because everyone in Europe's just fucking shit.
This is true. You are the only team that has actually got a decent bit of form.
I'm hoping Alaba leaves Bayern Munich with a defensive error that kicks you out of the Champions League.
Mate, I would not be surprised. The way he's playing at the moment, I would not be surprised.
You'd run downstairs with your Bayern Munich shirt with Alaba on the back and you start cutting out with your scissors.
Mate, if I had a David Alaba shirt, I would do that.
But anyway, yes, back to Liverpool very, very quickly. I'm sad. I'm sad because the one thing that we've been good at for fucking years is scoring goals. We just can't do it anymore. And a lot of it comes from the fact that his two best midfielders are playing at centre-back. because we've just got no engine room. Like, as midfield's just become empty. And Thiago, as sumptuous as his passing is, he did not have enough help last night. Very, very, very surprised that Oxlade-Chamberlain started, especially when you've Curtis Jones has played well. Even Minamino would have done a job.
I saw a post the other day. I think it was after the Newcastle game, maybe, or something. And it was a Liverpool fan that said, Thiago is the best passer I've ever seen in my life.
He is absolutely ridiculous. Like,
that statement is fucking ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Unless you're like 12 and never saw Pirlo, Xavi, Iniesta, or Zidane.
I know, but like, what you have to understand is, like, the best parts of our team for the past 2 years have been as front three, which have been nothing short of amazing. As midfield have kind of just been there. Like, they facilitate the wing backs, they block a lot of space, and they help the defence. Van Dijk, I have never missed a presence on a football pitch more than that man. He is an absolute monster.
I've got a question for you. So he plays Henderson at centre back last night. Does he just not trust his youth players?
He does trust his youth players. If you've noticed that Nat Phillips came in against Newcastle, before that you had Matip that was in.
And so why is Henderson playing at centre back then? Because that fucked your midfield up.
I think a lot of the reasons to that is,
it didn't just fuck you up defensively, it fucked you up in midfield.
It fucked up the whole rhythm of the squad. It completely took our metronome out, and by putting Thiago into that role, he is a sensational talent.
But he's barely played and not accustomed to the team.
But he's barely played. I was like, if you're gonna put somebody in that role, put Henderson there. Move Thiago into the eight position, which is where really we need help, because we don't need defensive. We don't need our probably one of the best passers in the league to be playing in a defensive role when you're playing a team that's going to hit you on the counter. So we needed him in that eight space so that he can open things up. We had our first shot on target. It was the 75th minute. First shot. And you're just like,
why am I laughing? You've allowed Spurs back in a fucking title race.
We've blitzed teams for years. And honestly, it's been like, well, if they score three, we'll score five. If they score four, we'll score six. I mean, look at that Cardiff game all those years ago. What an unbelievable game of football that was. But then you look at this season and it's like, no one can score against us and we haven't got a defence. Just fucking score. Like, honestly, the decline of Firmino and Mane has been shocking, and the sooner that man like Diogo gets back, the better. I never thought that Diogo Jota would be the saviour of the red side of Merseyside, but 2020 was a really fucking weird year. Good lord. James, come on, let me play the music for you. Let's get to the bare minimum.
Yeah, let's get this open done with.
So I've got a big grin on my face for one reason. So, mate, the game started pretty badly, to be fair. I had my German Weiss beer. I was all set for a good Bayern victory. But the way that we're playing at the moment...
Was it Diet Coke?
Diet Coke has no relevance to German Weiss beer. Thank you very much.
I thought that was the Coke and... beer drink.
I wasn't drinking Coke and beer. That's a summer thing. You're not very cultured. You should. Well, I wouldn't expect.
That's why I'm asking you, mate. You said
I was drinking the pure shit. It was a pure beer. I was.
He means what you take in them clubs in Berlin,
mate. Yeah, mate. You know, you should know this, considering you've been to Germany. Anyway,
it was a one-time thing.
Rudely interrupted again. Classic. Went 1-0 down again, eighth time in a row where we've gone 1-0 down in the Bundesliga. And when it went to 2-0 down, I was like, shit, this could be pretty bad. To be fair, I should have expected it when I saw Alaba playing at centre-back again. He has been trash. He has been...
Cool, you don't rate Alaba, do you?
Mate, I think he's a great player going forward. I think
you were rating him when he was willing to sign a new deal.
No, I wasn't. I don't think he can defend to save his life. Ooh. His legs are starting to go. He can't defend. He switches off. And to be fair, Boateng made the mistake for the first goal and then Alaba kind of the second goal. And we went 2-0 down at half time. And I was thinking, this could get quite, hopefully this could well, hopefully we can come back to, for this, but I don't think we'll get more than maybe a 3-2 or 2-2. But, mate, we blitzed it the second half. Mate, complete yin and yang, second half, absolute great performance. Another two goals from Lewandowski. Sane, great goal. And Kimmich, back with a bang. And, yeah, it's just, it was a bit of like a Jekyll and Hyde performance. And now we're 2 points clear of Leipzig. And, mate, business as usual.
I don't know what it is about Bayern just being able to like have these generational players and then move on or retire and then just be like, oh, we'll just get someone better in, mate. It's like, you know, Balak went, Svine came, Svine's gone, Kimmich is it.
I don't think he's doing enough justice to how good the comeback was for Bayern. That's their eighth league game in a row where they've gone behind him and then gone on to win.
It's because they all, because they know they're going to win. It's like the Man United teams of old.
We give them a little bit of hope and then we snatch it back from them.
It was the first time they've gone 2-0 down and then won the game in like 10 plus years.
Don Flick. Mate, Flick is incredible manager. Absolutely incredible manager.
I mean, I wouldn't say incredible is the right word. You've lost the lead in eight consecutive games. You've gone 1-0 down.
But we win the game. At the end of the day, the result is the most important thing. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you get a girl back to yours, but as long as you...
Wait, that's another thing I'm going to have to beep out the podcast. I can't put that in.
Yeah, you can't say Bob Junk.
Bob Junk. Whoa, don't say that. Now, I was thinking, James, I'm going to keep track of all these things that you say about buying players because you flip-flop so much. Hansi Flick, while at Hansi Flickle.
And what? How do I flip-flop?
You're fickle, aren't you? Hansi Fickle. That's what I'm going to start calling you.
That's
you're
a
just
great
like
name.
Constantly changing your name, changing your mind all the
time.
I'm
not changing my mind. I've always been a big fan of Hansi Fickle. When have I gone against Don Flick?
Oh, God. No, I'm about your opinion with players. You're like, do you know who's an amazing player?
Alaba.
This guy who plays
I think Alaba is a great player, but he just can't defend. I've always said
he's dead to me.
He's not a good...
Alaba is amazing.
I've never said that. Shang out your ass. He's a great player in certain situations, but he can't bloody defend.
You sure about that, Hansel Fickle?
Sounds like a bloke. Sounds a bit like Hansel and Gretel, doesn't it?
Hansel Flickle.
Hansel Fickle.
Gretel.
You're welcome. You can trademark that one. Is that enough for the bare minimum? Have we covered all the bases there?
I think so. I mean, I can go on to a bit more of a Bundesliga talk, but if we just want to cut...
We haven't got a fact checker. We'll move on. Anyway, sorry. I think it's time to put some respect on that man's name.
Put some respect on that man's name.
That's right. Put some respect on that man's name news, your main story tonight. It's Maurizio Pochettino is the new PSG manager. We called it, you called it, everybody called it. We all saw it happening. What a great guy.
FC Podcast exclusive.
Yeah, and I feel like that fella on Twitter, you know, like, here we go, hashtag here we go, Romano, he's a great guy. He's suddenly come out of the woodworks, hasn't he? He's got a job again. But anyway, Maurizio Pochettino is the new PSG manager. And I think he was saying today that like the he's a massive club on par with Spurs. That's one way to alienate your...
Being stolen to the PSG fans.
Your fan base, yeah, tell me about it. But he's... I think he's the man for the job. We've talked about it before. I think he's going to do a cracking job then.
I agree. I've spoke at length about how they needed to get rid of Thomas Tuchel and bring in Pochettino if he was available.
And I think, honestly, I think PSG will win the Champions League this season. That's still set in stone for me.
Yeah, watch it. Bayern are going to win the Champions League and he's going to come up with...
No. It's all been recorded. I think PSG will win the Champions League. I'm not changing my mind. I think he's going to do an amazing
job. He's got his fingers crossed.
I don't have my fingers crossed, mate. How can you even see I've got my fingers crossed?
Because we're doing a Zoom call, you pillock.
Well, my hands are down here. Oh, shouldn't have said that. My hands are here.
I both hands on the table, please.
Keep your hands. Good Lord.
Well, it's a nice, memorable mention for Pochettino. Put some respect on that man's name, news for Maurizio. But I think the man that we really, really need to put some respect that name on is Ciampa himself, pushing Atletico to the La Liga title.
Luis Suarez.
Luis Suarez.
For me, I said he was going to be the signing of the year, mainly because I couldn't say Haaland. But I think Barcelona are on the verge of gifting Atletico Madrid the league title, which is just insanity. It's the 89th minute, and Felix manages to play the ball across goal, and who's there ready for the tap in? Luis Suarez. They beat, I believe it was Alaves. I could be wrong. He's Alaves, I think. And I think a game like that last season, considering they drew 16 times in the league.
Crazy, man.
Last season, that's ending 1-0. This season, 3 points in the bag. And if you look at the league table, which I am right now, they are 10 points clear of Barcelona with a game in hand. And they are 2 points clear of Real Madrid. And Real Madrid are second, Atletico are top. And they've got two games in hand on Real Madrid. And they've already played Barca and Madrid. Lost to Madrid in the derby, beat Barcelona.
Barcelona is the one that you need to win. Like, they're for the taking there. But I can wax lyrically about Luis Suarez until the cows come home, or before he takes a bite out of one anyway. And he is a troubled man, but he's a sensational footballer. Like, even the fact, I don't know how much he cost Atletico, but it was peanuts, wasn't it?
It was like 6 million euros, 5.5 million euros.
It's changed.
Barcelona basically had to, they forced him out. And in his leaving press conference at Barcelona, he was asked why he's leaving. And he turned to the president and said, you'll have to ask him. And then obviously Messi's gone public, slating Barcelona as a club and the president for how they treated Suarez and selling him. And Messi's just done a recent interview at the end of the year, basically saying, like, talking about how it's just ridiculous how we've given a rival for the title, Luis Suarez, one of our best strikers.
If not one of the best strikers. Like, yeah,
he was finished when he left Barca for some reason. Okay, he's a little bit slower, but the finishing and the instincts and the mental side of the game for Suarez, because that was always a key part of Suarez's game, the mental side.
And he's a warrior.
Sometimes he would lose his head, but he was so tenacious and he was so... It wasn't instinctive, but it was just he could be so smart in the way he would make his runs at times.
His movement is just otherworldly. Yeah. You will lose where he is on the pitch, and then you'll just see where the ball's going. He's just there.
And he would get like the faintest of flicks, and it would just turn the ball away from the keeper, past into the back of the net.
He always has this ability as well. It's like, I've only ever really seen it when people play hockey. It's just like, you know, the rule of if the ball touches your foot, it's a foul. So like people just constantly like trying to hit you in the feet with the ball. He did that. He almost would like push the ball into you and you'd almost like close your legs together to try and stop it. And he'd just run around you. It's like he always like faked the nutmeg so that you close your legs and then he'd completely off center you and he'd just run around you. Like that was his trademark move whenever he played for us. I loved him as a player. He's the only player that before we won the league that really truly gave me hope. And when he took a bite out of Chiellini, I was like, that's it, he's gone. But oh well, what can you do? But is that enough respect on that man's name, James? Have you got anything to say about Louis?
No, I've always been a big fan of Luis Suarez.
He doesn't watch Spanish football, does he? He admitted this at the start of the pod.
No, yeah.
Mate, I've watched Premier League football and of course I've seen him in the Champions League and I saw...
Well, he hasn't played in the Prem since 2014.
There's something going on in the WhatsApp group.
The last game
I
saw Suarez in was when we beat Barcelona 8-2, fam. But he did score. Okay, it was negative of the game, but I still saw him play. But
The main reason Barca got two goals in that game was literally because of him.
Luis Suarez, yeah. Literally, he's the best player.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Unless you ask Arturo Vidal. You know, don't ask Arturo Vidal.
That guy. Don't even get me started. I'll talk about him in a bit.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's very exciting to know. Well, gents, I will let you move us on ever so quickly. I think it is that time of the week. Probably my favourite time of the week because... this is segment of this podcast is the reason as to why I now watch football with even more of an eagle eye than I did before, because I like to see who is being an absolute tit. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Clown of the Week. Welcome to the Big Top. Roll up, roll up. Let's see who we've got in the very first Clown of the Week in 2021. Has anybody learned from the lessons of last year? Not very likely. Go on, Jack. Why is half the Premier League in your Clown of the Week this week?
Well, let's just make it as clear as possible. The Premier League confirmed today that a season-high 40 positive coronavirus cases were recorded in the latest week of testing. And this includes two rounds of testing. And it's because of specific players breaking COVID restrictions and having parties over Christmas and the New Year.
Not good. Not good. I saw a photo today that had like Lo Celso in it, Lanzini, Reguilón, Lamella. I mean, they all look like they're having a lovely time.
Lamella and Lo Celso tested positive ahead of the Spurs-Leeds game that was on Saturday. And Reguilón was then benched. Spurs have now come out today and said all three players have been fined. I'm not sure what West Ham have done with Lanzini.
It's not enough, though, is it?
Like, and then you've had a
fine to these guys isn't really a lot, is it?
No.
It's just like, well, fine, just take it.
And you've
it's
had
just like a tax rebate.
The Palace captain, is it Milojevic? And a Fulham player, I can't remember who, were caught breaking the rules, and then Benjamin Mendy having a New Year's Eve party. This comes after eight or so Man City players and staff tested positive already before that.
He's a bit of a nugget though, isn't he? Benjamin Mendy. Like when he was at Monaco, he looks like he had the world at his feet. And he's come to City. And I know he's had a lot of issues like with injuries and stuff, but I think a lot of that's down to his attitude. Because he just doesn't seem to take out seriously. And you look at all these players and you're like, come on, guys. It's like, there's a lot of people in this country that would love to be working, would love to be going out and doing stuff. I understand that, you know, in life, if someone tells you you can't do something, money talks. But don't take the piss. Especially when, like, your team, you see some of the games that have been cancelled, like obviously Mourinho's kicked off with a game getting cancelled at the 11th hour.
And then there's going to be some Spurs players that broke the rules and tested positive.
Exactly. And then you look at City, on another day, or in another bit, if Chelsea were on better form, with, you know, Edison being out and Garcia, who has been in and out of the team, and with Walker as well, I think he's now lost his starting job to Cancelo, who's just been a monster recently. But they should have the incentive to play it safe, not spread it, because it could cost your team a big game like that Chelsea game. Obviously, things didn't go the way that a lot of us wanted or predicted. But come on, guys, sort yourselves out. Like we're all struggling right now. We all
There's
know it's
someone
shit,
else as well that needs to be included in this. It's funny you say, don't take the piss. The first
Who's
thing
been
that
taking
came
the
to
piss?
My mind when you said don't take the piss is Pep Guardiola.
From what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Carlsberg, that basically Mendy did something very similar in terms of having a New Year's Eve celebration. Yep. And then he was put on the bench against Chelsea, and then Guardiola defended him, saying that the public should not judge Benjamin Mendy. And I think for a manager to then defend someone to breaking the rules is ultimate clownery, in my opinion. It's terrible. It's awful.
I mean, he started off the post-match interview by saying what a great guy Mendy is. He's on the bench even though he's not playing, clapping, jumping up and down for the players on the pitch. Mate, who gives a fucking toss?
Spreading his COVID.
Yeah, and then he said, he tried to say, oh, he made a mistake, but all these people trying to judge him, I bet a lot of other people have broken the rules. That's not the point. We should have a go at them as well. There's a lot of people right now in some dire situations. The audacity to say that is ridiculous.
Especially in a city like Manchester where they've been locked down since September and no one's been able to go out. It is a little bit of a slap in the face. This is the thing that I find with Pep Guardiola. It's one rule for one and one rule for another. The second that anybody's under his wing, they're like untouchable. Or anybody of his players, he will defend them. Like he defended Phil Foden. after the Iceland incident, which, to be honest, under a different manager who could have been a little bit more strict, it could have cost him his international career. And rather than setting a precedent, setting an example and teaching the kid a lesson, he's let him get away with it. Because he's just this laissez-faire sort of, you know, boys will be boys and all this sort of thing. And that's wrong. It's not right. We're in a very difficult situation across the world. Every single person that's listening to this podcast now has been affected by whatever the fuck this bloody thing is that we're all having to deal with. And it's not difficult, is it? Stick to the rules, be smart. And unlike most people, we're not getting tests every day. We're not getting people looking after us and drivers and cooks and all this sort of thing. Like, I hate this debate of like footballers get paid enough. They should, you know, do this, blah, 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 blah. But it does create a very much an us and them sort of situation, doesn't it? It makes it very, very difficult. And I don't see how we can't have a clown of the week that's just is the COVIDiots. Just everybody. We'll just package them together and create a nice little selection of, it's like a Quality Street selection of tits this week.
But it's the shit ones. It's just the toffees.
Or just like bounties. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, wait. Did you just say you don't like the toffees?
They're the shittest ones.
Oof, don't know about that.
Well, I had this discussion at work and people had a go at me because I said the best ones were the strawberry and orange creams.
No, the strawberry and orange creams are very, very good.
They are nice.
Yeah, very, very good. But like, why did they get rid of the Galaxy in celebrations?
Oh, the Galaxy.
That was the best.
And they've kept the bounty. Honestly, ridiculous. Ruined me Christmas.
It's always at celebrations. You know the celebrations just come to an end when you've only got Bounty and Milky Ways left in there.
We've still got a box downstairs that hasn't been opened yet.
I'll smash the Milky Ways.
Oh, mate, get on there, take the Maltesers out. That's the best bit.
Mate, we've got a lot down there. We're talking Tiberias, we're talking Ferrero Rochers, we're talking Quality Street, we're talking Lindt Truffles, and we are talking the Heroes.
To be fair, Jack's mum does know how to shop. She does know how to put on a spread. I can imagine one of these. Well, you know these kind of like these cartoons like Sleeping Beauty or like Cinderella when you've got that massive table with like the pig with like the apple in its mouth and like all those like dishes. I can imagine that is basically
we did have gammon for Christmas, to be fair. Gammon in Turkey.
You know, I've heard about the Hoban spread many, many times. I went round to his house, I had to get it out of the fridge my fucking self, honestly.
Yeah, I've been welcome to it.
That was funny, though.
Two reasons why you were like that, mate. It was because the parents were away for the weekend and you were on some strong shit. And every 5 minutes was, got any sausage rolls? Got any sausage rolls?
I was Aunt Marvin, mate. Jesus absolutely. Christ. And I was like, a Rustler's burger may sustain you, my friend, but I turned up empty belly expecting the Hoban special.
Didn't he buy you a pizza?
Yeah, he had a pizza beforehand.
What, a Domino's?
No.
He got me an oven pizza just to like stem the tide.
Carlsberg
like,
got me a Domino's, mate.
I'm not a big lad like you, James. I'm practically half your height, but I probably still eat the same amount as you do.
Carlsberg got me a Domino's, to be fair.
Did he now?
Yeah, man.
Fucking hell. Right, let's move on to the team of the week before I get upset. Anyway, let's get on to this week's team of the week. I was having a look at the predictions and oh boy, have we got some good players to have a look at. Ouah, Cantona. When did Marcus Llorente suddenly become one of the top players to get on FIFA? His potential 86 rated card this week is in the 80s club. 87 pace, 80 shooting, 84 passing, 83 dribbling, 85 dribbling, should I say. 82 defending, 85 physical.
Yeah.
He's a beast, an absolute
beast. I was
hoping
he would be in the headliners promo, but he wasn't put in.
Was Ronaldo
in the headliners? No, he's up for a second in form this week, maybe. It's only two goals though. I say only, but it is Ronaldo against Udinese. Lukaku's a good shout, maybe. He only scored one. Inter scored six at the weekend, but the problem was Lautaro Martinez bagged a hat-trick, but he's in the team of the week currently. So they never put him in back to back. My picks for the team of the week predictions.
That's tough going on.
Zielinski for Napoli. He scored two absolute stunning goals. One was a screamer. One was just individual brilliance. in terms of like the touch and the shot, just brilliant. And then the other one is Akanji for Dortmund.
Yeah, see, he's a player that I haven't seen a lot of, but now that his pace is starting to get towards 80, he's a lot more usable. The ones that I'm looking at here, the two standouts for me are on my list is the Wan-Bissaka 85 right back. Now that his pace is getting up there, he's going to be like 88 pace with his 85 defended. Physical's not amazing. But if De Bruyne gets an inform card, he's now starting to get godly numbers for a cam, like looking at 88 shooting,
probably limit on
he's already in the 90s for passing. Yeah, Donnarumma as well, he's been linked with Chelsea this week,
on a free transfer. He's now his agent is Raiola, and he's now allowed to start talking to foreign clubs.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of big players that are now starting to be able to look to foreign clubs. Up as just one Lionel Messi. I didn't realise that Lacazette had earned a potential inform. I didn't even realise he was still playing football.
Tierney scored.
Yeah, Tierney would be a good one. What about James, you're big on the old Serie A. What about Duvan Zapata? He's been doing very well for
Atalanta. I do like Duvan Zapata. I think he's a great player. And yeah, what else can I say?
A lot of information there. So Atalanta did really well at the weekend, and they battered Sassuolo. And this is without Alejandro Gomez, who is now completely out of the team. And Atalanta right now are playing like there's no like bust. Basically, Gomez is their biggest player, their captain, and he's had a massive falling out with Gasperini, the manager. Gasperini threatened to resign. The club refused it, and Gomez also had a falling out with the president. Gomez has come out and said, when I leave, the truth will come out. And he's meant to be leaving this window, if they can find a buyer. And yeah, he hasn't played. I think the last game he played was the final Champions League game against Ajax, because they felt it was such a must win, he needed to play. And then after that, he just hasn't played since. And they've been fine without him. They've been scoring a lot of goals. Zapata's been banging them in. I think he got, two at the weekend. And him with Illich, they've been actually doing really well, even without Gomez.
Now that Harry Kane's looking to be like a 90 overall player, is he usable? Because like obviously he's got like mental finishing, his physical's great, he's got good passing as well. But that pace just... That as well, but like the pace, it's only just creeping into the 70s.
I reckon for people to use him. Because there's just better options in the Premier League. People are still always going to use Aubameyang, Timo Werner and Martial. And Rashford, obviously Rashford.
Does Aguero still get some use?
Not really. He had a flashback card on Black Friday, but that was about it. His pace has been downgraded.
Right, as well. So now I'm looking at my predictions as well. A 91 potential overall for Joshua Kimmich. His CDM card, like 88 dribbling, 85 defence, 84 physical, 89 passing, 74 pace.
His work rates are shit on FIFA, though.
You can boost that up.
For a holding midfielder, yeah, high medium. What is it? Well, what I will say that this is, he should be in the team of the year when it comes. I don't know when it'll be. It's normally around this time, but they've delayed it. So when he gets into the team, like he should get into the team of the year, and his card will be absolutely mental, even with the work rates. He'll be like 95 rated overall.
We could just
or something ridiculous.
You just move him up the pitch, don't you? So it's not a problem. You just move him up the pitch. Looking at my list, I think we've run out of the big names there. There's a couple else that are in there, that like Asensio and McGregor for Rangers, Ben Mee for Burnley. But I think we've covered it there. And also looking on my running order, it seems that we have now covered everything that we normally do in FCP. So, boys, I think we shall leave it there. No, you're right. That is exactly all we've got time for today. Thank you ever so much for joining us, the FCP Ultras. Shout out to you guys and shout out to everybody else that's getting into this podcast or just enjoying it. If you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, it really does help us grow. And what helps us even more, if you guys subscribe. Don't forget that we're also on Twitter and at FC Podcast 2. And you can also go on our Instagram. We put up lots of lovely photos, even pictures of ourselves and as kits. Why don't you do the same at FC Podcast Boys? Have a great week, folks. We will catch you on Wednesday. And let's hope that the fixtures pan out, no more injuries, and we all have an absolutely cracking time. God bless you all.